Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You often hear Americans bemoan the increasingly small influence that Christianity has in this country. Well, try Europe sometime, where the very structure of the place, the architecture of the place, screams Christianity, historically screams Roman Catholicism, and the influence there is, well, not just smaller, it's very much smaller. Joining us to talk about Roman Catholicism in Europe today, Dr. Uwe Simonetto. He's an international journalist. He's executive director for the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life and the League of Faithful Masks based in Southern California. Uwe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Nice to be back.
Recent LA Times story has this quote, I wonder if you agree. For many Europeans, the relevance of the church, both their personal and their public lives, is a thing of the past. Do you agree?
It is currently so. Yes, I would agree with that. I would not be as pessimistic as some Americans see it about the future, but the assessment is correct, yes.
Give us some historical perspective, if you could. What is the wedding, so to speak, of European history and Roman Catholic history?
Well, I mean, it starts with Cluny. It starts with Benedict, I mean, the first Benedict, who saw to it that Christianity survived in the Dark Ages in Europe. All of the great Christian thinkers of the Middle Ages, Thomas Aquinas and Luther, Calvin and others, were Christians, and I would include in this lineup more recent great theological thinkers such as Dietrich Bonhoeffer and the now Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. So we are closely interwoven. We are a Christian culture in Europe, or should be one. And in many ways, this is still reflected in our choice of language, in our tastes, etc. But indeed, the church has become irrelevant to a large proportion of Europeans, with the exception possibly of Poland and a few other countries, and faithful pockets of Christianity, Catholic, Lutheran, or otherwise, in secularized nations such as Germany, for example, or France.
So what, I mean, this is a huge question, but what happened?
Well, what happened is, look, what happened was the French Revolution. Let's start with there. What happened was the subsequent separation of church and state in the real sense of the word, not in the American sense of the word, which is bogus, in the real sense of the word, separation of natural, positive law thinking from natural law thinking. It starts with the liberal theology, especially in Germany, in the late 18th and early 19th century, and then leading up to all these horrendous movements that we have experienced in Europe, such as Marxism-Leninism, which is a direct consequence of the French Revolution, and of course Nazism, which is another branch of the same tree. And so in the end, we stand there in Europe with a secularized, I think, disoriented society, very much like, in many ways, the American society, except in Europe it's more visible, in America it's more hidden. But basically the arguments are the same. And, of course, a desperate need for reorientation, which, of course, as Benedict XVI said, would be re-evangelization. But let me, if I may, describe you one scene. I have a home in France, and where we celebrated in the local church my golden wedding anniversary on December the 1st. And the Catholic pastor of that church, the ceremony was conducted by my godson, who was Lutheran pastor, but the Catholic pastor of that church attended and participated in the prayers. He told me that he had 72 altars to look after, one man. There are no priests in, that is now France. And therefore, there is no catechism. There is nobody there to visit the sick or the dying. There's no pastor, priest, or even deacon, or just deacon, to bury the dead. Faithful old ladies do that in our village. So in a sense, this is now France, but it applies to many other countries too. It is not so much that people are leaving the church. The church has actually left the people. Why this is so, why there are so few vocations, is a totally different matter, and there are some very glib answers to that. But it is so. In Germany, the church, the Lutheran church has, or the Protestant church, with the exception of small free churches like the Free Lutheran Church, have become totally irrelevant to the people because they sound like the Zeitgeist. They sound like everybody else. They emulate secular life. The Lutheran Church of Saxony, into which I was born, and now the bishop allows same-sex couples to inhabit church parsonages owned by the church. And if anybody is against this, he will not be communed. I know of one situation where a pastor is not allowed to commune his own wife because she too loudly protested against this abomination. And again, you look at this and you say, now this, all hopes were lost. I mean, this is Dante, you know. But first of all, there are pockets of faithful Christians. Secondly, there is a new crop of pastors and priests, and I know this from France as much as from Germany, these are the countries I know best, coming up that are very faithful and very orthodox. And they build up congregations if they can. But actually, in the French countryside, you have to restart the whole process of evangelization from scratch. That is the situation. Now, final note, this is not unique. It's not the first time it happened. The whole of Europe was de-Christianized several times over. It was so in the Dark Ages, where, again, just small monasteries and small groups maintained the Christian faith. It was the case in the entire provincial area, countryside around Wittenberg at Luther's time, where the cities were faithful and the countryside was gone. Luther spoke of the of this phenomenon of the cloudbursts of faith that suddenly descend upon certain areas, surrounding areas, remain dry, and then suddenly the cloudburst finish, areas dry up and become desecularized again. Something one has to discuss.
What role did modernity, and please explain kind of briefly what we're talking about there, but what role did modernity play in all of this, Uwe?
Well, modernity, which of course comes down from the Enlightenment and the French Revolution, introduced the concept of living one's life in a very materialistic sense, that only what is provable must make sense. So therefore, unless you unless you can could see God or could see have proof of God, why bother? Modernity produced, as I said earlier, also the these two aberrations, communism and national socialism, which replaced religion, which substituted religions, ideologies, and then when that collapsed, both Nazi Germany and communism in Eastern Europe, we were left with a desert. Because by that time, people were no longer instructed in their faith properly, and people had lost their Christian way of life, families, etc. But this is something that, on a different level, is occurring in this country as well.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the influence of Roman Catholicism and the Church in Europe. It's Thursday afternoon, March the 14th. I invite your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email with a question or comment right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @IssuesETC. After another 10 minutes with Uwe, we will turn to our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. And in advance of our Pastor's Roundtable, you can leave questions or comments on the parable of the wicked tenants and paying taxes to Caesar. Will be in Luke chapter 20, right on the cusp of the Passion account in Luke's Gospel, with our Pastor's Roundtable. Leave those questions or comments at our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/IssuesETC, Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Uwe raised the question of communism and socialism. We'll talk about their influence in the de-Christianization of Europe right after this. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, IssuesETC.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Treadmill for the Mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
The hymn, Hail Thou Once Despised Jesus, sung by the Festal Choir and Hosanna Chorus, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's our sacred music station that runs 24/7, 365 days a year, and follows the course of the church year. So you hear that Lenten emphasis at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about Roman Catholicism in Europe for the next 10 minutes. Uwe, talk a bit in more detail about communism and socialism. You mentioned before that they didn't, and I like the way you put it, they didn't so much eradicate religion as they created a substitute religion. Talk about that.
Well, they did two things. Let's take communism and national socialism. National socialism is the Nazi variant of communism. They created a substitute religion. In the case of Nazi Germany, of course, the Redeemer, Hitler became the Redeemer, and the Church, only about a third of the Church, but nonetheless a substantial part of the Church, prostituted itself to the Nazi ideology. In communist East Germany, Christians were systematically destroyed. Both in Nazi Germany and communist East Germany, Christians were systematically persecuted. In communist countries like East Germany, Czechoslovakia, etc., you could not even complete high school. You could not go attend university unless you had joined the communist movement and undergone a substitute procedure, substitute ceremony for confirmation. All the classes, social classes in these countries that used to support the church, the middle classes, the upper classes, the craftsmen, your baker, your master cobbler, your master butcher, your farmer, they were all driven out because they were expropriated and was deliberately done to get them out of the way. They all in East Germany, they went to West Germany, so that in the end, a tiny minority of about 25% of Christians were stayed behind, living under enormous hardship. A pastor would make something like 700 East German marks, which might be the equivalent of about 200 bucks or something like that, or even less, a month. Not enough to live on if they hadn't been substituted by West German churches. In the Nazi era, it was done not more subtly, but from their perspective more intelligently, because they tried to sort of pervert the church and rope them in for the time being, because they could not. They felt that Germans were still sufficiently Christian and faithful to the church that they could not outright persecute them. But pastors who resisted, for example, communist inroads, the Nazi inroads, were drafted and sent to penal battalions or to penal units, having to dig trenches ahead of the fighting forces. You know, they were the first ones to be killed. None of which, of course, is regularly reported, you don't even find that much in history. But I've researched this a lot. So that is what it was. And then of course, when the wall came down in East Germany, strangely enough, the remaining Christian minority was very heavily responsible for that. And so everybody thought now that the communists had gone these countries would return to their Christian roots, but sadly they haven't, because then materialism took over, and of course, very importantly, the left wing materialist secularist movement that emerged in the 1960s in Western Europe, leading up to even terrorist movements like the Bader-Meinhof gang in Germany and similar groups in France and Italy. So all this contributed to a decline in faith. And then, of course, the churches, especially the Protestant churches, again cozied up to this left-wing secularist zeitgeist. And unfortunately, the Roman Catholic Church in Germany, for example, many of their prelates or leaders have actually become Protestantized in that same system. So essentially, they are not very different.
I want you to talk a little bit, if you would, about, you mentioned before Pope Benedict XVI,
yeah,
how he made one of the goals of his rather short tenure as Pope, he used the term re-evangelization, and I think he was not only aiming at Catholic strongholds or former Catholic strongholds, but especially at Europe. With the election of the new Pope Francis, he spoke yesterday of the long journey that is ahead of them. Do you think he has the same idea in mind vis-a-vis Europe?
Oh, absolutely, yes. You see, this is, I'm glad you're asking me that question. Yes, first of all, this guy, he's Argentinian, but he is of Italian descent, son of Italian immigrant parents. He had studied theology in Germany, so he knows the situation inside out, and I think he is as committed to the re-evangelization of Europe as Benedict was. I mean, I think it was Benedict's strongest point. It was the re-evangelization of Europe, and I believe that Francis will follow his line. I mean, the two were not theologically very, very close.
And you said at the beginning of our conversation, with the pessimism that seems to prevail for those of us who look from the outside in on Europe's secularization, it tends to mirror our own pessimism about the United States. What are some of the reasons, with only about a minute or two here, what are some of the reasons that you don't think all that pessimism is necessarily warranted with regard to Europe?
Well, there's one reason, and that is a deep theological insight that faith is a gift of God, and yes, God can also turn his back on his people. We know this from the Old Testament, but there are historical precedents for that a nation turned secular, or an area went dry, to use Luther's imagery. The nation had dried up, no faith left, and then next thing you have a cloud burst, and it starts all over again. You can't predict it. Human beings cannot direct it. It is just our obligation to keep the flame burning and to keep teaching. I mean, in parts of Europe, like in France, for example, where I live, nobody except little old ladies teaches the catechism. Because there are no priests and no deacons, and only those who really want their children to learn catechism will send their kids to these catechism classes. In my case, in my neighborhood, it's a farmer's wife who does wonderful work, by the way, together with Protestants to keep this thing going. But the most important thing to remember is that the church's obligation is to, one of the church's obligation is to teach, go and teach all nations, and that is what we have to do. In that sense, of course, I think that is going to be Benedict's greatest legacy. That is what he pushed and pursued.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist and executive director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life and the League of Faithful Masks, based in Southern California. You'll find links at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Uwe, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Folks, we just received a registration form for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference from Pastor Timothy Schar. He happens to be my district president, president of the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. That's very encouraging to know that we'll have a little LCMS officialdom there at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference in June. It's going to be a fantastic conference that is open to all. You do not have to be a trained theologian. In fact, this is really aimed at not only anyone who wishes to come, but especially to our lay listeners. We're going to have a great lineup June the 14th and the 15th here in Collinsville, Illinois. That's this summer. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn, Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Chris Roseborough, host of Fighting for the Faith, Suzanne Venker, author of The Flip Side of Feminism, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of that book called, what was it called? I forget the name of the book, but he will be talking about The Case Against Islam. It's all about making the case. And then I'll be speaking there also making the case for confessional Christianity. It is going to be a great time. It's going to be Issues, Etc. in conference form. It's $100 per person, and you can register online, issuesetc.org. You can pay online or by check. And if you have any questions about the conference or how to register or any questions whatsoever, just call Craig, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. It's the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's June the 14th and Saturday, June the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. You might have noticed that's right before Father's Day, but the conference wraps up Saturday, in plenty of time for everybody to get home to celebrate Father's Day the right way with their families. Register online, issuesetc.org, or call Craig and ask him about the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, 618-223-8385. When we come back, it's our weekly Pastor's Roundtable. We'll be studying Luke chapter 20, the parable of the wicked tenants. Pastor Bruce Kaseman, Pastor Mark Bestel will be our guests.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
How is the Lutheran teaching about the Lord's Supper distinct from other Christian confessions? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March is Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March.